Angela Yee and Charlamagne the God.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
The voice of the culture.
People watch The Breakfast Club for, like, news and really be tuned in.
It's one of my favorite shows to do just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
They might not watch the news, but they're on Twitter. They're on Facebook. They're, you know, they're listening to The Breakfast Club.
Get your ass up.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Tuesday.
You didn't know for a second.
You confused?
No, I got distracted because I looked at the New York Post and the Daily News, and I'm like, why does the Daily News have a dead body on the front cover? Why do I want to see a woman laid out with blood all over her from Vegas yesterday?
I guess they're trying to show
you
reality.
I literally got distracted just now when I was opening up the paper. I'm like, what the hell? I don't want to see reality.
Yeah, well, it seems like more people have been are dead than we thought. Yesterday, I believe we thought it was 50. Now it's up to 59 when
yeah,
I went to sleep last night.
59 people killed and 527 injured at least.
Jeez.
So far.
Jeez.
But we are going to have more information on the shooter during Front Page News.
I still don't understand why any news publication would want to put a dead body on the front page of the paper. I think we fully understand how terrible this act of terrorism was. I think we get it. We don't have to see it like that first thing in the morning. Jesus Christ, I didn't even have my green tea yet.
Well, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
All right.
Yes.
Now, shout out to the good people over at Ford. Yesterday, Yee and I flew out to Detroit to meet with the people at Ford and had an amazing meeting, an amazing time. So shout to them. I know some of them listen to us in the morning when they're on their way to work. So good morning to everybody out in Ford in Detroit.
Yes.
Had a good time out there. And last night was the... it wasn't a concert, but the benefit party for Puerto Rico in the city with so many DJs, Self... Camilo, Clue, Puerto Rican Rob, DJ Clark Kent, Sife Sounds, DJ D Nice, so many different DJs. I couldn't make it because by the time we got back from the
train, we landed kind of late.
It was over at midnight and we landed about 11 o'clock.
I thought you was the premier Puerto Rican DJ. I thought you was the premier Puerto Rican DJ on the bill. What's wrong with you?
Everybody was Puerto Rican last night.
But I thought you was the premier Puerto Rican DJ.
Everybody was the premier Puerto Rican. And I'm not Puerto Rican. Where are you getting this from?
You're definitely Puerto Rican. So.
Well, I am not Puerto Rican.
Well, it's great that you represented for Puerto Rico.
Everybody did last night. Everybody was Puerto Rican last night. But let's get the show cracking. Today we have an author that's going to be joining us.
Not just the author, a former Wall Street tycoon. If you ever seen the movie The Wolf of Wall Street, the character Leonardo DiCaprio played, Jordan Belfort.
Right.
He'll be here this morning.
He's a New York Times bestseller.
He's got a new book out called The Way of the Wolf.
Yeah, we'll be talking to him about everything that he's done. I hope everybody's seen Wolf of Wall Street. Y'all all seen it,
yes,
right?
Yes, of course.
That was one of my favorite movies. I love that movie so much, I tried to buy one of the cars in the movie. But it was way, way too expensive. But I just tried. I was like, wow, this guy's amazing. But
that's the first time I've even heard of Quaaludes was Wolf of Wall Street.
Really?
Yes. And that's when they started talking about Bill Cosby was using Quaaludes. I was like, whoa. That's from Wolf of Wall Street.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front Page News. What are we talking about?
We will be talking about Las Vegas. What we know so far from the investigation, all the weapons that were found, and what family members have to say about Stephen Paddock.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Here's Kendrick Lamar. It's Humble. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some Front Page News. Now, let's talk about, I didn't see the football game last night, but Kansas City beat Washington 29-20.
Y'all still watching football?
Nah, I protested. I didn't see it.
Jesus Christ.
Definitely protested.
You standing with Kaepernick or you're not standing with Kaepernick? All right? If you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you're probably not because they're 4-0. If you're a Giants fan, you probably are because the Giants are 0-4. If you're a Cowboys fan, you just, you know, playing it week by week.
All right. Well, let's talk about this shooting in Vegas yesterday.
All right. Well, let's tell you the information that we know. At least 59 people were killed and 527 were injured in that shooting that started late Sunday night. Now, police did find at least 19 firearms, explosives, and several thousand rounds of ammunition in Stephen Paddock's home. Then at the hotel at the Mandalay Bay on the 32nd floor in the room that he was in, police found 23 weapons, which included a handgun and multiple rifles, and some of them did have scopes on them. They still don't have a motive for why Stephen Paddock, who was a 64-year-old retired accountant, would do such a thing. He never faced any notable criminal charges, and they're just confused as to what could have happened. Now, his brother, Eric Paddock, gave an interview, and here's what he said.
Not an avid gun guy at all. The fact that he had those kind of weapons is, where the hell did he get automatic weapons?
he has no military background or anything like that. He's just a guy who lived in a house in Mesquite and drove down and gambled in Las Vegas. He did stuff. Eat burritos.
I mean, we say this every time there's some type of mass shooting in America, but America definitely needs some type of gun control, but, you know.
And it's not that hard. I mean, you just can't have automatic weapons. There's no reason a civilian should have automatic weapons. Why do you need a gun, right? To protect yourself, if you want to go hunting. There's no reason to let off 30, 40 shots at anybody, at a deer, at a person, at anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's why America needs some type of gun control. And instead of praying for the city after the fact, we need to be praying for gun control.
Now, Stephen Paddock also had bought multiple firearms in the past. Investigators believe those firearms were purchased legally, but they did say at least one rifle was altered to function as an automatic weapon. Now, he fired at the officers through the door of his hotel room and shot a security guard in the leg, and that's when the SWAT team broke down the door, but he had already killed himself.
Mm. See, this is what I hate. Like, just kill yourself from the start. Before you even decide to hang out the window and shoot into a crowd and kill 50-plus people and injure 200 more, you could have just deaded all of that and just shot yourself, okay? And furthermore, if you're going to do all that, have a shootout with the police. You know what I'm saying? Like why be a coward once people really pull up on you with the guns?
We don't want them to shoot out the police.
Well, he did shoot a couple of cops.
Yeah. That's it?
We don't want them to shoot
the cops. You just shot 50 people.
They're saying he had no known link to overseas terrorism or terror groups or anything so far, with people with knowledge of the case have said that. Now, Donald Trump did do a five-minute address, and here's what he said.
It was an act of pure evil. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful.
Still waiting for him to say it was a terrorist attack.
Oh, it's definitely a terrorist attack. Okay. I just think that's just so cowardly that this man had all these weapons. You shoot in the crowd, knowing all these people down there are defenseless, but when the police pull up and they got weapons, you punk out and kill yourself.
Yeah, he didn't want to get caught. He didn't want to go to jail. But back to the gun laws, there should be no way that they should have that type of guns. And they should do some kind of check yearly. Like, when you're a police officer and you leave the force, you have to go through training every year to maintain that you can keep that gun permit that you can carry.
But then again, I wonder if this guy even obtained these weapons through legal means.
They said legal. They said it was all legal.
They did say the guns were purchased legally.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
That's legal. And you can buy as many guns as you want if you I have a couple. You can buy a couple that you can have as many as you want as a person.
Well, you got to get flagged then. You know what I'm saying? There got to be some type of gun audit, all right? When somebody buys a certain amount of automatic weapons, they should get flagged by the government.
Absolutely.
And the government should pull up on their crib like, nigga, what is you building in this bunker?
Because you care if I put a lot of money in the bank. If I put a lot of money in the bank, you flag me.
Exactly.
If I buy a lot of guns, you should flag my ass too. I agree with you.
If the IRS see me on Instagram stunting a little too hard, they gonna get... Same thing when you buy a certain amount of automatic weapons.
I'm with you. All right. My last front page news. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up right now. Maybe you had a bad night or a horrible night. Call us up. Or if you just want to spread some positivity this morning, 800-585-1051. Phone lines are wide open. Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, my name is Porter.
Hey, what's up? Get it off your chest, bro.
What's going on? Hey, man, I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I'm in the Army, and I just want to call regarding the shooting in Las Vegas.
Go ahead, bro.
Hey, man, so it's not a thing about, like, gun control. It's the fact that, like, if he has a M4, you know, AR-15, in the civilian world, it's pretty much, basically, you can make it into an automatic weapon. It's the simplest movement around a couple of springs inside the trigger bank.
I saw somebody make a 9 an automatic weapon the other day. It was like they put something on the 9 that made it like brrr and all that crap.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that with an AR easily, but then these gun companies have to make it where you can't alter it that easy, because it's very easy to alter AR.
Yeah, it's up to the gun company, though. You know, it's really up to them, because they're just selling the weapons and whatnot. They're not really looking too much into it, but it's really easy. I've seen it done before, and, you know, like I said, you know, it's not a matter of buying automatic weapons. You cannot really buy automatic weapons without a certain license, and you have to have a certain license, you know, to get automatic weapons. So it's as easy as just moving a few springs in a trigger mag.
Now maybe that's gotta be, it gotta be a little more difficult to do that. Thank you, bro.
Are you telling me this dude rigged all his guns?
It's not that hard. People say it's just a spring. You put a spring in it and it makes it automatic. People say it like it's easy. You can go on YouTube and find out how to do it.
Mm.
Hello, who's this?
Laquita.
Hey, Laquita, get it off your chest.
I think that this was all a setup when it comes down to the shooting. It's not a setup or a distraction to the families. My sincere condolences to them. But this was not an accident. It was planned from much higher than that young man.
Man, listen, man, I really wish that all of you YouTube conspiracists and social media conspiracists would stop with that. If you can't prove it, like, that's so disrespectful to the families, man. People are dead. Like people aren't waking up this morning. So where do y'all get this information from? Like, how do y'all prove these things? Y'all call them false flags. How?
It's not a false flag. It happened. It's real, and it's very real to the families. But the timing is that's not an accident.
The timing of what, though? Like, what's the timing?
The timing of the shooting, it wasn't an accident.
So explain what you mean by that. What was the timing?
Everything was just coming to a head, and it still is coming to a head.
What is everything? Listen, please, baby. I love y'all to death, but y'all got
to
stop this.
What is everything? Let her finish. What's coming to a head, mama?
All over the world, all of the disasters, everything with the NFL.
Oh, this no doubt. God and the NFL and the government are coinciding to ruin the world. Yeah, God would definitely be on that side, right?
No, God's on his own side. I don't even subscribe to religion, so.
I need you to disconnect from the internet and please stop listening to them stupid ass think pieces online, okay?
Thank you for calling,
please,
mama.
Please, I'm begging you.
And giving your opinion. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a nice day. Jesus Christ, man.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, or maybe you feel blessed, want to spread some positivity, call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, hey, well, I'm here, Double D.
Hey, Double D, get it off your chest, bro.
Double D.
Listen, I just want to shout out to Ben Rozier, comedian, just passed away in a wheelchair. You know, he was a big brother in the comedian game. You know, I want to shout out to him and his family. Kind of pissed off at that happening, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, the comedians is dropping off one by one. I don't know what it is, the stress, what it is, but, you know, I just want to shout out to him and his family. Another reason I'm pissed off, overdraft fees. They got to stop overdraft fees.
Overdraft fees.
They know I'm getting paid to get on Friday. Why are they taking that money from me? You know?
You know, you can have overdraft protection on your account.
Yeah, but that's extra, too.
Yeah, that's just extra money we ain't
but
got.
But it actually ends up saving you money if you know you always overdraft your account.
Yeah, but, you know, sometimes we don't have that money in that account. We need some extra money, so we go do a delivery. Take that $35, and you got to pay that $35.
But you got to make sure you balance your account better.
Angela Yee rich, so she don't know. Her account ain't been in the red in a long time.
I was broke for a long time, and I never, because I was very, very sure that I always balanced my account, and that's why I never had overdraft fees.
I was overdrafted a couple times. I know I'm about
I had $2 in the bank, but I still know. Man, I'm not trying to pay those fees.
If it wasn't for overdraft fees, I couldn't fill my tank up sometimes. Sometimes you know you only got $2 left on that card, but you got to just fill it up.
Sometimes I didn't have $35 to pay.
Go negative $40.
I've been there before. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy, get it off your chest.
Hey, I'm just mad because you go to the gym at 4 a.m., get your mind right before work, but then people got to be nasty as heck. They sweating all over the thing, over the machines and the equipment, not wiping it off, and then walking around, old men like to walk around the locker room with the things out, like put some drawers on.
I feel you. I think it's disgusting. People sweat all over the treadmill, and then they just leave it all wet and walk away. Disgusting.
You got it. Yeah, wipe down your gym equipment,
I still wipe it down before I go on anyway.
That's a pet peeve of mine, too. I feel like that about when you walk into a public restroom and people didn't flush the toilet. Like, and flush the goddamn toilet and wipe the gym equipment down.
Everything right there for you to wipe it down.
All the time. And you pay all this money to go to this bougie gym, and people can't. Got no gym etiquette. They move your without coming through, without asking if you still working on it. They see you super setting, and then they come out of the sauna with a sauna suit and sweating all over the machines, and then walk off to something else.
And you know what else I think is rude? When people come to the gym, stink. Like, they just rolled out of bed from the night before, no shower, and
they
stink.
Some of them get stink in the gym, though.
No, some people stink. You don't stink unless you stink before you got there. Your sweat shouldn't smell.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you.
Nah.
I'm not worried about how somebody smells in the gym. It's the gym.
It's disgusting. Like, if I have to breathe the air...
It's the gym,
it's
though.
It's gross.
Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Turner.
Hey, Carter, get it off your chest.
How you doing, man? I woke up today mad, and I woke up happy at the same time.
Explain.
All right, tell us.
All right, I woke up today beside a beautiful woman. You feel me?
Inside a beautiful woman.
Okay, we can say that. We
okay.
can say that.
All right, that would make
congratulations.
That, you should be happy.
Thank you. And then I go to, you know what I'm saying, I go open my door. Guess what I got on my doorstep?
What?
A 30-day notice, G.
Oh, you ain't pay your rent?
No, it's not my rent to be paid, you feel me?
Whose rent is it? Her rent?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta pay that, bro.
So she was doing the 40D challenge all last week but didn't know what to do for the rent once the first came.
Tell her. You feel me? Something close to it, you feel me?
So you gonna give her a little change?
Yeah,
did you leave a little
out,
change
man.
On the nightstand? You know, to help her with the rent?
He said leave $200 on the dresser.
I don't know how much her rent is, but just leave a little change on the dresser to help her out with her rent.
You can't let her get a bill. Are you going to help? Yes or no?
I mean, I wouldn't be a man if I didn't.
There you go. I like your style, my brother.
Like, I just say I'm a big fan of y'all, and y'all have a very blessed day, like I will.
All right, bro.
You should talk to her about her finances, though, and see what's going on there.
She don't
want
to hear that.
She
just
let
want
it
the
get
money.
That far.
She just want the money. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, hit us up at any time. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, let's talk about O.J. Simpson. What was his first meal when he got out of jail? Also, we are going to talk about Stephen Paddock some more and what other people have to say about gun control.
All right. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the
gossip.
The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, O.J. Simpson, once he left jail, what was the first meal that he had? McDonald's. That
oh,
was
meal?
The first thing. Yeah.
I thought you said jail mail.
No. Oh. He said his first meal out of jail.
Oh, goodness gracious. Go ahead.
All right. Now, when asked about it, he said it's better than prison food, but it's not what it's all cracked out to be. So that's what he says. But now that he is out of jail, Ron Goldman's family is still looking to collect the money that he owes. Now, when he was acquitted in 1995 of their murders, but he was ordered to pay $33.5 million because of the wrongful death suits, that figure then increased doubly. Okay, the judgment was renewed to $57 million. Now it's a little bit under $70 million. So now that he's out and he's going to be working... They're trying to get their money from O.J. Simpson.
In 2017, I would never understand the media's fascination with O.J. Simpson. I mean, I really believe it's the fact that he got away with killing two white people in America that mm-hmm. even white people can't believe it.
Probably that. And you know, with the papers, people read it. And with the news, people watch it. So
that man going to be dead soon. All right.
He's 70 years old.
Exactly.
Now. All right, Christopher Williams. We all know Christopher Williams is the R&B singer. Remember, he was in New Jack City.
Yes, the light-skinned beige Negro that Wesley Snipes stabbed in the hand. And I cheered when he stabbed him in the hand.
Well, he just got arrested and booked for petty theft. Apparently, he went into a Kohl's in Georgia. He had a tote bag and he had a baseball cap on. And they said he went to the back of the store, grabbed some headphones for $99.99 and tried to walk out the store with them. Then security stopped him. And he said he simply forgot that he threw them in the bag. So
Don't nothing age worse than light skinned men. Lord have mercy.
I wouldn't say that.
Jesus Christ.
He looks a little.
That man is aging like the finest of milks. You hear me?
Yeah, he's not aging too well. And his hair, yeah.
Drop one of Clues Bombs with Christopher Williams, though. Uptown Records legend. Okay.
Look at him back in the day. What a change.
Yeah, but the girls looking at that old picture. That's the one they show them on Throwback Thursday. This is who I slept with, girl. I don't know who this new guy in that mugshot is.
Just as a funny story, one time I was at a music convention somewhere, and Christopher Williams was there. And I was like, oh, look, there goes Christopher Williams. But people kept calling him Albie Shore, and he still was responding.
Oh, he
was. Like, he was Albie Shore. Because
it was only two light-skinned that was prominent at that time. It was Albie Shore and Christopher Williams.
But this was way after. This was like some convention.
Still after? Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
They were like, oh, look, it's Albie Shore. And
Why was he at a music convention anytime in this era?
I don't know. He was there.
Yeah, he was singing.
He was by himself walking around.
Well, drop on the Clues Bombs for Albie Shore and Christopher Williams, Uptown Records legends. That's why Uptown Records needs a movie, man.
They definitely do.
They need a movie.
All right, rest in peace to Tom Petty. Now, if you don't know who Tom Petty is, he is a... a big rock star in the United States. He was only 66 years old when he died of a heart attack. He suffered cardiac arrest and was found unconscious. You probably know this song, Free Fallin'. This is one of his biggest songs.
Oh, yeah,
songs.
I know this song.
Yes, he started the group The Heartbreakers back in the mid-70s. He also had a super group called The Traveling Wilburys, and he had that group with Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, George Harrison from The Beatles, and Jeff Lynne. So rest in peace to him. He also had an autobiography that came out in, no, it was actually a biography in 2015, and he talked about the struggles that he had with depression. He said he was in therapy for 6 years trying to deal with depression. He said it's a funny disease because it takes you a long time to really come to terms with the fact that you're sick, medically sick. You're not just suddenly going out of your mind.
Well, he's going to be depressed in the afterlife, too, because he picked a terrible day to die. He died yesterday. Nobody, I mean, I'm not going to say nobody cared because his family and friends cared, but, you know. He probably didn't get the send-off he deserved.
Right, well, a lot of people that were big fans of Tom Petty.
It's like James Brown dying on Christmas. I love James Brown, but he died on Christmas. So Christmas takes precedent over that.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, Miss Yee. Now, when we
and
come
I thought
back,
he was saying free-balling that whole time, too. I just
no,
want to throw that out there.
That's what you thought?
All these years, I thought he was saying free-balling.
You did not think that. You
I did.
Changed those words
I thought
words
it was about
yourself.
Guys walking around in jeans with no drawers on.
Let me hear. Shh.
Listen. Free-balling.
Shut up, man.
Come on
come
now.
Back.
You can't tell me you didn't think he was saying free-balling.
Nobody
thought
that.
No, he didn't say no free-balling.
I thought he was saying free-balling all
say
the
no
time.
He didn't say no free-balling. All right.
When drop one of Tunes Moms of Tom Petty.
We got front page news.
I ain't never seen no Tom Petty.
Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, I didn't watch football last night, but if you did, or if you your team played last night, Kansas City beat Washington 29-20.
Kansas City is 4-0, so I'm sure none of their fans are staying to a Kaepernick because they're having a great season. But if you're an 0-4 Giants fan, you're probably staying to a Kaepernick. Might as well boycott.
Now, you know, Fox Sports said they're not going to air the national anthem before NFL games anymore.
I heard Fox, guys. Period. Fox, period. Fox wasn't going to air them at all.
Yeah, Fox Sports said they're not going to air them.
Fox Sports is a... One is a totally different network. You mean like Fox in general?
It's
I don't think football games.
Fox Sports.
Yeah, football
games. Fox Sports.
Yeah, Fox Sports.
I don't think football games come on Fox Sports.
They do. Mm-hmm. I think they do.
Fox Sports is with Jason Whitlock and Colin Cowherd and all.
I thought they did. No,
they come on Fox.
On Fox, maybe Fox. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the Las Vegas shooting.
Yes, yeah, so I'll give you guys some information. It was the deadliest mass shooting in modern U.S. history. At least 59 people were killed and 527 people were injured in that shooting. Now, according to the police, Stephen Paddock was at the 32nd floor in a hotel room at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. Police did recover 23 weapons there, which included a handgun and multiple rifles. Some of them had scopes on them. They also found several pounds of ammonium nitrate, which is a material used to make explosives, in his car. They said at his home, they found 19 firearms, explosives, and several thousand rounds of ammunition and some electronic devices as well. He was a 64-year-old retired accountant. He never had any notable criminal charges, and they still don't understand what this was about. They do believe that he acted alone as of now. Police did go and confront him at his hotel room. He did fire at the officers through the door. He shot a security guard in the leg. And that's when the SWAT team broke down the door. But Stephen Paddock had already killed himself.
What a coward. He should have killed himself before he shot those 50-plus people and injured 200 more. That's what he should have did.
Now, here's his brother, Eric Paddock, speaking on Stephen.
Not an avid gun guy at all. The fact that he had those kind of weapons is, where the hell did he get automatic weapons? He has no military background or anything like that. He's a guy who lived in a house in Mesquite and drove down and gambled in Las Vegas. He did stuff. Eat burritos.
All right, that's why we got to stop. I'm not going to say stop because it is a great thing when we pray for the city after the fact, but we need to be praying for gun control before the fact.
Gun control, yeah. We need to do something with gun control. Like he said, anybody can buy a shotgun or an AR and then, you know, with a little switch of anything, I think as they do with something with the spring and it becomes an automatic weapon. And we got to make sure we can stop that because there's no reason he should have been able to spray 30, 40, 50 rounds in a crowd like that.
And what a sucker. You spray all those defenseless people that are down there just enjoying that concert, but when the police come in to bust your ass and they got the guns and they really want that action, you kill yourself. If you wanted a war, that was your war right there. Mm-hmm.
I did read somewhere that his father actually was on the FBI's most wanted list for robbing banks or something like that.
Not
anybody
sure.
See that story?
No.
Not sure, but they said they have no idea. He was not, he didn't, no flags or nothing. They said he never even got a parking ticket. He was just a they say a good person, but
no, he wasn't a good person.
That's what they say.
Clearly wasn't a good person.
We
would not have the narrative of Stephen Paddock. What's his name?
Stephen Paddock.
Whatever his name. We would not have the narrative of him being a good person. There's nothing good about a person who kills 50+ people and then injures 200 more. No, that's not happening.
I'm with you.
All right. Well, Donald Trump is supposed to be heading out to Vegas tomorrow, and here's what he had to say. He gave a 5-minute address.
It was an act of pure evil. I want to thank the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department and all of the first responders for their courageous efforts and for helping to save the lives of so many. To have found the shooter so quickly after the first shots were fired is something for which we will always be thankful and grateful.
It's an act of terrorism. Stephen Paddock is a son of a bitch. Okay, that's what Donald Trump should have said. Right? And if you're going to call it the nation's deadliest attack since 9/11, then call it what it is, a terrorist attack. 9/11 was a terrorist attack, right? So this was a terrorist attack, too. Simple.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your front page news.
All right. When we come back, we're going to kick it with author Jordan Belfort.
Yes, if you that name sounds familiar.
He's the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, I'm sure you saw Wolf of Wall Street. You saw the character that Leonardo DiCaprio played. That is Mr. Jordan Belfort. He has a book called The Way of the Wolf.
And we're going to kick it with him when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building, Jordan Belfort. You might know his character from Wolf of Wall Street.
Good morning.
Welcome.
This is who Leonardo DiCaprio played in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Right.
Leo is way more better looking than you.
That's the only my mother says not. Everyone says, but my mother thinks that, so yeah.
Well, you have a new book out, Way of the Wolf.
Yeah.
And it's about straight line selling, and you're saying that all sales are the same.
Yeah, well, I've been teaching the straight line system for... since 1988, believe it or not, almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the movie, you know, in the last half of the movie, there's a lot of stuff about the straight line with the TV commercial they have me doing. It's really what I taught all these kids back, and it allowed them to make so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been teaching it around the world for the last 10 years. It's a really powerful system, can help you basically sell anything to anyone. And it's also not just for salespeople. It's for any person, because, you know, sales is life, basically. Mm-hmm. You're always trying to sell yourself, get your ideas across to people. So it's a very powerful book. So The Way of the Wolf is basically the straight line system.
What exactly is straight line selling?
Straight line selling is basically a methodology that allows people who aren't natural born salespeople, which is 99.9% of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gives you a way to approach a sale that a natural born salesman. See, when I sell, it's so second nature to me that when I walk into a sales encounter, everyone's the same to me because I know exactly what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take control of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a couple of things in certain order. I do it the same way every time. So what this book does, it breaks down a sale and gives you essentially a formula for doing precisely that. And it's so easy to learn. Reason is because the kids I taught back in the day, they were kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't all that smart. They, you know, I had to be sort of paint by numbers
right. Easy.
So, and then what happened was after, you guys know my story, right? I went wild and got in some trouble. And then many years later, I started teaching it around the world. It worked in every industry and made people rich. So,
why do you think the guys you were selling to weren't that smart?
Hey, when I say smart, number one, they didn't do well in school. They didn't have aspirations that were like, they weren't, you know, really money hungry, and they weren't really...
They were pretty mediocre.
I think so. Some of them, you know, I grew up in a poor family myself, so I didn't grow up with money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the kids were the same. They grew up in like, you know, middle class neighborhoods, and they never were told by their parents they were capable of greatness, capable of achieving whatever they wanted, right? And they came into my company, and then I taught them the skill, the straight line system, and it changed them and it made them more powerful, allowed them to really go out there and become very wealthy.
Can we do something fun right now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because I read the part where you talk about tonality in the book and
selling.
Now, Envy used to be a salesperson. He would call people up cold, right, on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? Telemarketer.
Telemarketer.
I would like for Envy to practice that on you, and then you tell him how you would do it.
Sure.
And
hey, Mr. Belfort, how's it going? This is Sean from Pelco Fuel. How are you doing this evening?
He sounds good so far. He's upbeat, positive, right?
He asked you how you're doing.
See, he sounds like he was my phone.
Sounds like a nice
guy.
Thing that I would change in that, okay, is I would tip it, and depending on what you're selling, is I wouldn't call someone Mr. I'd say, hey, Jordan, how you doing? I'd call someone by their first name because typically...
Familiarity.
Well, also, it's a lot of times you don't actually get the person on the phone that you want to speak, depending on what you're selling, right? So when you say, hi, Mr. Belfort, they know you're a salesman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If I say, hey, is Jordan there? Then they'll
sounds
think,
more personable.
Well, is it his friend maybe or something? So they get you get through the second thing.
I keep
but
going,
so
Andy.
Far, your voice was good and your tonality was perfect.
Okay.
Start over again and do it the right way.
Hey, Jordan, how's it going? This is Sean from Pelco Fuel. Hope your day is going great.
Okay, now watch how good this guy is, okay? Notice he said, hey, Jordan from Pelco Fuel. You notice how he raised his voice up? Pelco Fuel is a declaration. Hi, that's a sentence, not a question. You phrased it as if it was a question. He said, hey, Pelco Fuel, like, right? You know me.
You know me.
He's got naturally great tonality. So about if 100 people would say that, only one, that would actually use the right tonality.
Well, that comes from being a DJ, and he's been doing radio for 15 years.
So I've been telemarketing for 4 years.
Yeah, but forget that.
Right, you read advertising
every day.
But notice how, like, he raised his voice about, like, Pelco. So you're like, am I supposed to know this guy? So you start listening. Very, very good.
Home heating oil is going up right now, and I got a great deal for you. I can save you money, close to $200 a year on home heating fuel.
Now he sounds like a salesman.
Hey, well, what I would do is I would sort of tell a bit more of a story first. And so if you have 60 seconds, I want to share an idea with you. Got a minute? And the guy, they're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Right. You sound like you feel like a...
And they say, if you were a woman, I would say, I hear a baby in the background. I'm sure you're saving for college right now. I'm sure you want your child to go to a big school.
A little bit of humor is always good as well.
So, and he's paying attention to detail.
Yeah, but I think one of the keys here, listen, obviously you have great tonality, right? And his instincts are correct. One of the things also is I would have a script. You want to know exactly.
Always a script, right.
You always want to have a script. Say, if you're telemarketing, you want to know exactly what you're going to say before you say, because when you know what you're going to say, then you can really focus on A, your own tonality, and B, what the person is saying back to you. So you can focus on their response, and by how they speak, you can tell what their level of certainty is, how interested they are, and so forth. So
then I would say, I don't want to sell you anything. I don't need your credit card info. We're not that type of company. If you have 60 seconds, we'll be in your area next week. I'd just love to chop it up with you for a couple.
That's called the no big deal tone. It's a no big deal. See, here's the, when you use those tonalities, this is really what the straight line's about. It's actually a subject, just a chapter on tonality.
Yeah, we talk about that, mastering the art of tonality.
Bingo, right. So he's got them naturally. And when you have those, so I'm guessing that you outperformed almost anybody that you were selling next to, right?
Absolutely.
Of course you did, right? Because when someone has those tonalities, it just radically improves your results. So what this book does is it actually breaks those tonalities down. And here's the thing. Every one of you has used these tonalities at a certain point in your life. You've all spoken like, so it's no big deal, or you've asked a question, but you don't do it at the right time when you're selling. So the idea is once you learn how to apply it to a sale, it's just dramatic. You become an expert very quickly.
All right, we got more with Jordan Belfort. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Kicking it with Jordan Belfort. Charlamagne.
You do encourage people in the book to use their persuasion tactics ethically.
Ethically, of course. So I made the mistake of not always using them ethically. And here's the thing. The straight line system, if you read this book, it's really powerful stuff. It is. And you can misuse it. And I caution people not to do that, because I made that mistake. And you
That's
want
why
to go
to jail.
Yeah, I went to jail. 22 months. I had to start over. And thankfully, you know, I was able to rebuild. But many people don't. It's a death blow to them. And this system's so powerful that I want to make sure that you use it the right way. Listen, success and ethics are not mutually exclusive. You can do both. You can do it right. As you guys said, you earn the trust of your people, right? And you do well. You can do both. They're not one or the other.
What makes your persuasion tactics legal now and more ethical now, as opposed to when you went to jail back in the day?
Well, the persuasion system itself is never good or bad. In other words, you take the straight line system, right, the way of the wolf, and you use that system to do good things, meaning to help people get things they need, to buy things they should be buying. That's ethical. If you take that system to use it just to make yourself money, and say, I'm going to sell anything to anybody, I don't care whether they need it or not, I'm going to manipulate them, I'll overpower them with my logic and reason and emotion, that's not ethical.
Have you ever ran into anybody that you persuaded in the wrong way, not ethically?
Maybe once here and there, but mostly will laugh about it pretty much.
They laugh about it now?
At least for me, I can't say. But again, I don't want to minimize. Like, some people lost money. That sucks. I wish that I'd never done that. That never happened. But, you know, I'm a big believer in that. You can't change the past. And everyone here has made mistakes. We all make mistakes,
absolutely,
right? It's what you do afterwards. You know, do you live in your mistake? Do you want to dwell on your mistake and be paralyzed by that? Or do you learn from that? And you grow and become stronger.
When you're out there giving seminars, do you still have girls that let you sniff coke off their asses? Or that's only in the Wall Street?
You know, I'm sober for a long time now, you know. But as I always say, people say, would you do it all again? I said, well, you know, I would change some things. But I wouldn't change the cocaine and hookers. I got to be honest. All right? I'm 55 now, right? I got a woman in my life. I love my wife, right?
And your heart can't take it anymore.
I'm pre-disaster. I already got it out of my system. She knows I'm not going to go out and do it again. So would I do it again? No. But, you know, what that was, it represents a life that I had, mm-hmm. and then that was part of me. It's a platform I can help other people. So, right. But I would change the stuff that caused that hurt other people for sure. But self-destructive behavior, hey, you know, that was my life, you know, and it was fun at the time. I won't deny that, you know.
Chapter 3, the first 4 seconds. You say that you have the first 4 seconds of an encounter to right. make an impression.
Like, for instance, when we just did this exercise where he did the telemarketing, right? Mm-hmm. Instantly, in those first couple of seconds, when he opens up his mouth to speak, I get an image of what he's like. Is he sharp? Is he on the ball? Or is he, hello, Mr. Balfour? And you're like, oh, my God, why is this person? Right? We, as humans, listen, our parents told us not to judge books by their covers, but they did, and so do we. It's human nature.
But you know, that's the first thing. You know, my real name is Rashawn, yeah. so I always took the rye off because it's too ethnic, so I just say Sean.
This guy, too ethnic.
It is. Rashawn, you're automatically known black.
Who cares if they know you black?
Yeah. No, because most, and in Long Island back in the day, most white people would rather talk to white people.
Ask them crackers.
What were you selling, by the way, back in the day?
Home heating fuel.
Pelco oh,
fuel.
My God, you disgust me sometimes.
No, but that's what I did.
Jesus Christ.
This was 1994. Yes, hi, yeah, this is Sean Casey from Home Heating, and that's how I sold. I never had to meet him. They talked on the phone.
Do you think that would make a difference?
What
he was saying, taking the Ra off of his name, Rashawn, he would call himself Sean instead.
You know, listen.
Was there a period in time when you were like, okay, if he was one of your clients?
No, you couldn't do that in the brokerage business. You had to use your real name because it's legal. There's legal ramifications for changing your name. You had to legally change. If you want to use a phony name, you had to change it legally. So
Do you think people really would think that? Like if somebody called and said Rashawn automatically?
Sadly, he's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sadly, he's right. It's a sad thing.
Of course you would agree with that. You're a white man.
I'm not going to lie to anybody here. But this is not about black and white.
How can you say it's not about black and white?
But
you said that he changed his name.
I'll tell you why. Because we're talking about likability. Meaning, if I'm selling to people who are black, then being black would be an actual advantage.
Absolutely.
If I'm Asian, I want to be like. It's not race. It's like.
That sounds very prejudiced, sir.
No.
Yes, it does. If you're a white man and a black guy calls you, and you automatically like, I don't like him because he's black.
No, there's a human.
It's the truth.
Number one. Listen. It's a sad reality to some point. Okay. I'm the least prejudiced person in the world. By the way, I grew up.
But yeah, there's a lot of prejudiced white people out there.
But black people too. There's a black person.
So you're saying a black person would rather have a Rashawn.
Yes. But it's not about black and it's not about black and white. It's about like versus like. So I'm in China.
The same.
They don't want to hear a white American accent. They want to hear a Chinese accent. People want to speak to the same. It's about human nature. It's not about skin color or ethnicity.
I call Delta, and I know it's a black person. We have a different conversation.
What's up,
my G? What's going on, yo? It's just a different conversation.
I understand everything that y'all are saying, but what you said about how some people are just naturally closed off. Like if I call somebody and I feel like I have to change my name and I have to be less black to appease you, I don't want to do business with you.
It's whoever you're calling. A woman calling a woman has a better shot than a man calling. It's always like versus like because people just associate based on similarities. Now, by the way, after those first couple of seconds, you're judged on based on who you are.
Absolutely.
Okay, not on your name. Okay, but the point is, what he's saying is, I'm not going to lie to you guys. There is this human nature, and it's not about skin color. It's about just like versus like. Man, woman, black, white, you know, age doesn't matter. So that's my point.
I'm not into appeasing white people. But listen, how often do you watch Wolf of Wall Street?
In the beginning, I watched it a bunch of times. I don't watch it anymore because I've seen it so many times. But
I've lived it.
Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, it's a little embarrassing. You know when you see yourself or you hear yourself
on Quaaludes.
Yeah. So listen, it's a great movie.
I didn't even know what Quaaludes were until I saw Wolf of Wall Street. When I realized that was Bill Cosby's drug of choice, I was like, wow.
Those, oh man, they were really good. I gotta say, thank God they're illegal.
By the way, they looked terrible, judging by how.
Thank God they're not around anymore. Because and anyone who's like Maya will say, oh, they would give you this euphoric feeling, you know?
But then you see what you look like to other people.
When you're doing them, you're like, I think I look perfect.
So they're like ecstasy and Molly, kind of?
No, it's not. Because it's not like that. It's more like, imagine like taking 10 beers. Mm-hmm. And boiling them, distilling them down to like one, a thimbleful, and injecting it in your main line, and all of a sudden you're like buzzing. It's like this unbelievable euphoric buzz that you get, and it starts like I always say. I always explain to Leo, right? Because Leo's never done drugs, and I explain they really are sleeping pills, right?
So what? Then from there you do coke to wake back up, and this is what I was doing. So you're like,
holy cow,
up or down?
Yeah, got it.
We'll try it.
Yeah, no. So I'm sober for 20 years right now, so I would never go back to that life. But that was what was happening.
You know? Did you ever give a woman a quaalude with the intentions of having sex with her?
When I was 15 years old, it was a really funny story. My friend and I, we were 15, were virgins still, you know. We're like, we should, because it's back when girls were big, we should give someone a quaalude. We tried to crush one up. We never did it, though. We thought about it, though.
You thought about raping a girl.
It was a good thought. I was a virgin, yeah.
Goodness gracious. Well, we appreciate you for joining us, man.
Great book, though. I read this a couple months ago, and it was the galley. It was a great read.
Way of the Wolf, you know. Go buy it.
Appreciate you for joining us. Thank you for stopping through and sharing your knowledge.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks. You guys are awesome.
Breakfast Club, Jordan Belfort.
The Breakfast Club. This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up. Nah.
Well, Geraldo Rivera showed up to Puerto Rico and was talking to the mayor, Carmen Yulín Cruz, who, by the way, I'm sure you've seen Donald Trump has criticized on Twitter. And here's what he had to say when he asked her about not seeing anyone physically die in Puerto Rico.
But are people dying? I've been traveling around. I don't see people dying. I spoke to the doctors. They saw 53 patients, and they had a person who was septic, but nobody dying. I wonder.
Well, dying is a continuum. If you don't get fed for 7-8 days and you're a child, you are dying. If you have 11 people like we took out of a nursing home, severely dehydrated, you are dying.
All right, now the official death toll in Puerto Rico is at 16, but they do expect those numbers to rise as rescue workers are trying to distribute those basic supplies and families have to live for weeks or months without power. Another thing the mayor of San Juan had to say was that FEMA is telling people to register online and they don't have power, so how are they supposed to go online and register for anything? Well, after the interview, Geraldo Rivera had this to say about the mayor.
That's part one of my interview with the mayor, who, as you heard, still claims people are dying, although the death count is 16, has been 16 since the storm. I couldn't find no one dying, and she was highly critical of President Trump.
What is he talking about?
So is he saying that no? I don't get what he's saying.
So he's trying to say while he was there for those few days, he didn't see anyone die, so no one's dying. Her point is that it's a continuum of things because there's no power, because there's issues with the hospital.
She's saying more people could die.
There's people that are struggling right now, and dying is like, I'm not dead. I am dying because I'm starving.
Yeah, I don't have water.
The water's bad.
I'm dehydrated. Gotcha. I can't get to the hospital. I don't have power.
Gotcha. So 16 people have died.
So it's still a state of emergency. She's been really critical of Donald Trump not responding in a timely fashion.
Yeah, 16 people have died and more people are dying, and she's trying to prevent them from actually being dead.
Correct.
And he's saying, I didn't see anyone die while I was here. How are you arguing over that? Let's just get the help that they need. All right, Tamar Braxton has fired her stylist, and that is because her stylist made her feel like she shouldn't wear an outfit from Forever 21. Now, she said,
what?
The stylist today tried to make me feel less than
Drop
because he didn't agree
Tamar.
That I should wear Forever 21. Well, I fired him because no one should make you feel less than because you have on a $40 outfit.
That's
How
right.
awful.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing
so my
wrong
clothes
with
make me never be confident in whatever you have, wear, are, and choose to be or afford. You better walk in confidence no matter what shape, size, or financial situation. You are amazing, and don't let anyone bully you into spending what you have or not. It doesn't make you any less fabulous.
Don't Forever 21 shame. Don't Charlotte Russe shame. Don't Rainbow shame. Don't Fashion Nova shame, damn it.
Zara.
Yes.
Zara's kind of expensive.
I know. I had a Zara. I think it is, though. I had a Zara shirt on yesterday, but I actually stole it from MTV's wardrobe. Well, I didn't steal it, but I just didn't give it back.
That's stealing.
No, it's not. It was mine.
Taking
anyway.
Something that's not yours
it
and
was
not giving
mine.
It back.
They gave it to me to wear for a show. So
to borrow.
No. They didn't say that. You got to make that clear.
You got to make that clear.
They put
clear.
It on my back, so I kept it on.
All right. Well, yeah. So she's going to wear whatever she wants. And you know what? If it looks cute, it looks cute. Just because something's expensive doesn't make it look good. And just because something's cheap doesn't mean it's not cute. All right, Jimmy Kimmel had some things to say about politicians and gun control after the unfortunate, tragic situation in Vegas. Here's what he had to say.
In 1980, we had a big fire at the MGM Hotel in Las Vegas. It was horrible, right? I mean, 85 people died. You could see the fire. I mean, I was 13 years old. I'll never forget. A man jumped out the window. It was a terrible thing to see. And then a few months later, there was another fire at the Hilton and 5 people died. So you know what they did? They changed the laws and it hasn't happened again. Why would we approach this differently? It's a public safety issue.
So his whole issue is, you see everything that's going on. We are losing police officers, children, mothers, all of that. And why don't we change these gun laws?
I mean, that's common sense. That's why I keep saying, like, it's cool to pray for the city that these mass shootings happen in after the fact. But no, we need to be praying for gun control.
All right, and here's what D.L. Hughley had to say about gun control as well.
It's easier in America to buy 10 assault weapons than 2 packs of Sudafed. You know what? The most dangerous thing in America is other Americans. More Americans have died at the hands of other Americans than died in all the wars we ever fought combined. ISIS ain't got shit on us. One man shot almost 600 people. That weapon did exactly what it was supposed to do, and that man had the right to have those weapons. So nothing went wrong except he killed a bunch of people.
All right. So it's not the guns' problems, the people with the guns, and we need to make sure
That's common sense too, though. Guns are inanimate objects. You know what I mean? Guns are just like anything else. In the wrong hands, they can be used for good. In the wrong hands, they can be used for bad.
But everybody wants to know, what can we do to change things? And that's really what it's all about right now. Now, Mike Tyson, Kid Rock, the Chainsmokers, the Oakland Raiders, they've all donated to the Las Vegas Victims Fund. It's a GoFundMe page that was set up by the Clark County Commission chair, and that is to help the victims of the horrific Las Vegas shooting. So.
And the sad part is, I mean, we can do gun control, and I mean, that's a start, but like I tell y'all every day, we are living in a world where we just have to avoid crazy. But it's almost impossible.
It's impossible.
Every day of our lives, we wake up, it's just a matter of if we're going to survive somebody else's crazy. Because I know what I'm going to do today, but I don't know what everybody else going to do. Okay? I worry about our cameraman in this room every single day. White dude named Steve always seemed like he about to snap.
No, okay. Steve's pretty cool with me. Steve's my friend.
Steve, just remember those times I answered your phone when you needed somebody to talk to, okay? All right? I
got you, bro. All right. That's your rumor report. I'm Angela Yee.
You're my hitter. You might hit
I'm your hitter. All right.
All right, now.
All right. All right, Steve. All right. Now, Charlamagne, donkey today, who you giving your donkey to?
Donkey today is going to the gospel group Mary Mary. We need them to come to the front of the congregation, literally. And we'd like to have a word with them, okay?
All right. We'll do it when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's pretty
funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, donkey of the day for Tuesday, October 3rd goes to the gospel group Mary Mary. Tina and Erica Campbell, now correct me if I'm wrong, but Mary Mary may be the first group to use auto-tune on a gospel record. Only other person I can think of who put auto-tune on a gospel record was Future when he made God Blessing All the Trap. So drop one of Clues Bombs for Mary Mary because he did. They did get God's gospel in rotation. Now, the reason Mary Mary is getting donkey of the day is because Tina gave an interview with The Root magazine where she was asked about an open letter she wrote earlier this year encouraging the masses to pray for then-President-elect Donald Trump. Now, if you know anything about your Uncle Charlotte, and you know I'm all about prayer, I am a prayer warrior. I pray a lot for myself, for my family, for my friends. And if you want to pray for me, please do. I can use all the help I can get. But I don't waste God's time, especially when it comes to people with the character of our celebrity-in-chief, Donald J. Trump, okay? I feel as if when you pray for... Turn that down in my ears, please. I feel as if when you pray for really evil people, God is just going to send those prayers to his spam folder, okay? It's also not good to pray for really evil people because you truly don't know what is the lesson that God is teaching that person. And oftentimes, God is ignoring evil people because once you choose to submit your will to Satan and not God, God is out. He got things to do. So I'm not asking my God to pray for someone when it's clear that the person I'm praying for has already made his spiritual choice in life and he picked Satan for 300, Alex. Now, Tina Campbell told The Root, I had a perspective, I had a feeling, and I put it out there. I know there's some people who don't agree. I do not agree with a lot of decisions that this man makes, speaking of Trump, and I made that very clear in my statement. I was faced with two presidential candidates that I really did not approve of, Campbell elaborated, and so I had to find something, a commonality with one of them that would make me feel like if I have to vote, I should utilize my right to vote since I don't prefer either of them. What can I find that would make me vote? And some of Donald Trump's views on Christianity honestly is what caused me to vote for him, end quote. Okay, Tina, God told me to tell you that there's so much wrong with that statement. Number one, stop trying to find something in common with evil people. It is perfectly okay if you and an evil person have nothing in common. And furthermore, if you find yourself having something in common with an evil person, then you might want to check yourself. Now, what else is interesting about this situation is that the thing you found you had in common with President Trump is his faith. his spirituality? You said his views on Christianity is what caused you to vote for him. What are Trump's views on Christianity? Because he pulled up to a black church or two during the campaign? Does that make him a Christian? Tina, listen, standing in the middle of a garage don't make you a car, and Donald Trump attending a black church doesn't make him a Christian. I'm not going to get all preachy on this radio this morning, but if you Google Christian values, there's about 10 values that come up, and I'm going to name a few of these values of being a Christian, and you tell me if any of this sounds like Donald Trump. Number one, worship only God. Nope, because Donald Trump worships wealth, fame, power, status, and Vladimir Putin. So out the gate, we starting off wrong. Number two, respect all people. You know that whole love your neighbors, you love yourself thing? I don't believe that applies to Trump. Would you like to hear some other Christian values that don't apply to Trump? Okay, being humble. Being honest. What do any of these words that start with the letter H have to do with the Donald? I've heard people say he needs to be humble, he needs to be honest, but never that Trump is those things. Another Christian value, practice what you preach. Don't be a hypocrite. Live a moral life. None of these Christian values seem to apply to our president. So, Tina, I would love to know what views does Trump have on Christianity that made you gravitate towards him. Now, baller alert. Drop on the clues bombs for baller alert. Damn it. They posted this story about Tina Campbell and the other Mary and Mary.
Mary.
It's another Mary, right?
Yeah.
Her name's Erica, though. Erica. Her sister sent a comment to baller alert saying, not what she said at all, in capital letters. Just read her letter for yourself. She wrote it at the very beginning of his presidency, and she was hoping for the best. Google Tina's letter. She said nothing about his Christianity. Read it for yourself. Poor Erica didn't get the memo. She didn't read the article in The Root. And that statement secured you donkey of the day, Erica, because it's right there on TheRoot.com for all to see. It says clear as day, and some of Donald Trump's views on Christianity, honestly, is what caused me to vote for him. Erica, it's right there in print for you to see. You need to practice what you preach and read your sister's letter for yourself, okay? I totally understand you having your sister's back, and it's okay to have her back and acknowledge that she's wrong at the same damn time. Mary, I'm disappointed in y'all both. Both of y'all need to open your Bibles and turn to Psalm 46:10, which says, be still and know that I am God. I know y'all ending y'all reality show, and that's good because y'all need some time to yourselves to just be still and disconnect from this secular world and really reconnect with your spirit. Because Tina's saying she likes some of Trump's views on Christianity, Erica ignoring the facts of what her sister said and telling bold-faced lies, all of that is more Trump-like than Christ-like. So I need y'all to be still and know God. I need y'all to go home. Get behind closed doors. Hit the floor. Get on your knees and pray to the God in you, not the Trump in you. Please give Mary, the sweet sounds of the Hamiltones, please.
Now you are the donkey of the day. Ooh, you are the donkey of the day.
Mary, why are you bugging?
All right. Thank you for that donkey today. Mm-hmm. Now, when we come back, we will talk behind the scenes. Now,
but this wasn't really behind the scenes.
We're talking on air as well, but Jordan Belfort stopped through, and we were talking about when I used to work at a telemarketing firm out in Long Island. This is what we were talking about. But, that's the first thing. You know, my real name is Rashawn, so I always took the Ra off because it's too ethnic, so I just say Sean.
Do you think that people really would think that? Like, if somebody called and said Rashawn automatically?
Sadly, he's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sadly, he's right. It's a sad thing. This is not about black and white, because we're talking about likability, meaning if I'm selling to people who are black, then being black would be an actual advantage.
Absolutely.
If I'm Asian, I want to be like Asian. It's not race. It's like...
That sounds very prejudiced, sir. Yeah, I want y'all to go watch that full interview on Breakfast Club's YouTube page, because we had a lively discussion in here.
Very lively.
And, I'm not into compromising with crack-ass crackers, okay? If you don't like me because I'm black, that's your problem.
It's not a matter about compromising with crack-ass crackers or white people or anybody else. It's a matter about doing a job and being smart at doing your job. I was a 15-year-old kid that worked in Long Island at a telemarketing firm with 10 other white kids. I was the only black kid, and we sold target audience home-eating fuel to 40-plus white men.
And you was ashamed of your name.
It had nothing to do with it.
You was ashamed of your name.
People judge you in the first 4 seconds of a conversation when you do telemarketing. If you're a salesperson, you would know that. So to get yourself in the door,
Charlemagne.
The first thing, that's not your name. Your name
that's
is
not
Leonard.
Not even your name.
Your name is Leonard. So you so proved nothing right anyway.
Would you buy from a Charlemagne?
Do you guys mind if I say something real quick?
Sure.
I was just gonna say that I also think that when you're younger and it's your first job and something like that, and you do something like that, a lot of that has to do with how we're programmed. you know, coming
why
up.
Are y'all making
so,
excuses not, for
can
the
I,
racist?
Can
it's not mad about making
hold
excuses.
Hold on, can I at least finish, finish what I was going to say? I was going to say that it is something that has to deal with people's prejudices, and I do believe that people have done that. Clearly, like I have a good friend, her first job, her name is Dania. She had to change her name on her resume to Dana because no one was calling her back. But once she changed her name on her resume, all of a sudden, all the same places that she sent her resume to were calling her back. It's wrong. And I think now we would never do something like that.
Okay.
But I think
that's
when
all
you're,
I wanted to
when you're, fi- when you're 15, 16,
yeah, when you're 15
17
years old and you're selling and you're trying
old,
to sell
it's unfortunate.
Home heating fuel to a 40-year-old white
it's
man.
It's unfortunate that we believe that that's what we have to do in
yes.
order to get our foot in
the
it
door.
Is
and it is unfortunate, but you have to do it.
Because, no, you don't you have to do it. You
I
do not
have to
compromise with these racist, prejudiced people. If you call somebody and you tell them your name and they don't want to buy from you because your name sounds too ethnic, they are prejudiced. So F them. Screw them. Period.
But
why
if
Emmy's
trying to hit his
them?
Numbers.
If I'm trying to get a job and trying to get paid at the
but
age
let's
of 15
talk about
to pay for
let's
a
see
car
what you
to pay
think.
For my bills.
Call us
yes,
up.
Yes, my name is Sean at the
well,
age of 15
man.
When I'm trying to sell to
call
a 40-year-old
call us up 1-800-585-1051. It's a heated discussion. What do you think?
Well, I'm not into compromising for these racist-ass, bigoted, crack-ass crackers. I ain't dancing. If you choose to dance, cool. God bless you.
Well, you can do that at the age of 37. I'm sure at the age of 15, it was a little different.
At the age of 15, I wasn't. I definitely was
you
much more militant.
You used to pray to Nubian white queens all the time. It's, you
what,
changed
whoa, whoa,
when you
whoa,
get
whoa,
a little
whoa,
bit.
Whoa,
yes,
whoa.
You did. You
what,
had a different mindset
whoa,
5 years
Nubian
ago.
White
all right, guys, come on. Let's take some calls.
We'll go take the phone calls
it's
when
not
we come
about
back.
Y'all.
It's
what
the Breakfast Club.
About?
Good morning. It's the truth.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Bruno Mars. That's what I like. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Jordan Belfort was here this morning, and this is the conversation we had.
Sure. But, you know, that's the first thing. You know, my real name is Rashawn,
yeah.
So I always took the Ra off because
yeah.
it's too ethnic, so
yeah.
I just say Sean.
Do you think that people really would think that? Like, if somebody called and said Rashawn automatically?
Sadly, he's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sadly,
I
he's right.
It
it's a sad
time.
Thing. This is not about black and white because we're talking about likability, meaning if I'm selling to people who are black, then being black would be an actual advantage.
Absolutely.
If I'm Asian, I want to be like, it's not any. It's not race. It's like
that sounds very prejudiced, sir.
Now, what do you think? 800-585-1051.
Absolutely not. I am not into compromising to racists, to bigots, to prejudiced people. If you are a telemarketer and you call somebody's house, and as soon as they hear your name, they feel like they don't want to buy from you because they think you're black or they think you're some minority, F them. Why are we compromising for them? Why are we compromising the racist, prejudiced, bigoted people?
I think the bigger picture is how do we feel about ourselves and teaching our kids so that when they grow up to be proud of who you are.
Yes.
And to not have to compromise.
Yes.
But that is something that people do have to learn.
It's not a compromise. It's a matter of being smart, in my opinion. If you're selling to a 40-year-old white man, you want to make them feel comfortable if you're selling something. Same way, if I walk into a shop and there's a brother in there selling things, I'm going to walk to the brother first because I feel like he understands me more than anybody else in there. The same way, if I call a customer service and somebody who I answers the phone is somebody that doesn't speak my language or I can't understand them, I hang up.
So,
and if
so
I
you
want
to make a 40-something-year-old white man feel comfortable in their prejudice?
At the age of 15, if I'm trying to sell something to them, yes, I want
so
them to
even
make
though
make
they're wrong, even though they're wrong because they're prejudiced and they're the bigot and they're the racist, you want to make them feel comfortable.
At the age of 14, I'm trying to sell.
You sound like you sound like the slave that wants to keep master's feet warm. You
gonna
lay at the end
of
master's bed to keep his feet warm.
It's a salesperson that's selling things. As a salesperson, you want to get in the door. I'm not meeting that person face to face. I'm on the phone. I'm getting a salesperson in that door, and I do whatever I had to do to get that salesperson in that door at the age of 14.
I'm not compromising to these crack-ass crackers. They prejudice is their problem.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's going on? This is Hakeem. I'm Brockton.
Hakeem, good morning. What
now,
do you think?
Hakeem, don't you call up here and tell me you changed your name to Hawk.
Nah, but let me tell you, I can definitely side with Envy because, yo, I remember recently just trying to get an apartment. It was so mm-hmm. difficult. I was calling, leaving messages. Nobody's calling me back. So I finally had a friend of mine, a white girl named Stacy, called the same apartment back. Got a call back the same day to go set up an appointment to go look at the apartment and everything. I'm like, I just called that place. Let me ask you a question.
It is a sad reality. Like, my best friend, Santi, she was getting an Airbnb, and she actually submitted a request for the Airbnb, and they told her it wasn't available, and then she had her husband, who's white, do the same thing,
absolutely.
And they responded and gave him the Airbnb.
Well, Hakeem, let me ask you a question. I pray that you did not still go down there and fill out that application, because you shouldn't even want to stay in a place like that.
Nah, after that, I figured, you know what I mean, it is what it was. I would never want to live underneath somebody that was judging me based off my name. Like,
there
that's
you
crazy
go.
To me. And, hey,
I wouldn't want to sell to them either.
I did a lot of car sales too. And when you tell people your name, you almost can feel the vibe change over the phone too. Like, especially when you got like an ethnic name like Hakeem or Rashawn or something like that. So I definitely understand that plays a big part in how, like, what people judge you before they even get a chance to meet you. It's crazy.
And that's their problem, not yours. We need to stop victim blaming and acting like that's our problem.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning. This is Billy.
Hey, Billy. Good morning. What do you think about what happened with Jordan Belfort as far as changing your name and not being as ethnic to sell things like I did selling telemarketing?
So I think that as a parent of a three-year-old and just making the decision to name my son 3 years ago, it's important what you name your child, not only because one day they have to learn how to spell it, and if it's 12 letters long, it's a little bit harder to spell it than if it's shorter, but also because no matter what you say, you are judged on your name that is on your resume. And so for me, it took a long time for me to be comfortable with my name because people always made fun of my name because my name is Billy. Mm-hmm. And I tried to go with my middle name and it just didn't stick. And so even to this day, people still don't understand what I'm saying when I say my name is Billy. But I think that parents have to be cognizant of the fact of if you're naming your child a ethnic name or a really long spelled name, that your child is going to have to grow up with that one day, and Billy, they're going to have to deal with the repercussions.
Billy, you do know, regardless of what you name your child, your child's still going to be black, or still going to be a woman,
absolutely,
or still going to be Spanish, or still going to be Jewish, and he can't run from that. She can't run from that.
Absolutely.
So what are you talking about?
And I'm not saying, well,
Billy's saying she doesn't want her kids
should
to be misjudged before he walks in that door.
They're going to be judged, they're going to be judged when they walk in the door regardless, because it's not about the name. It's about that person's prejudice towards whatever that person is.
And I'm not saying that they should hide their ethnicity. I'm multiracial. I have many, many things in my background. And my husband is 100% Native American. And when we walk in the door, my skin is darker than his. And when we walk in the door, we're judged because my skin is darker than him. I look the part of being Native American. And he doesn't typically, you know, people don't think that he's Native American, but he's 100%. He has his Native American tribal card. And so no matter what you do, you're going to be judged. But as a parent, I want to, as much as I can do to help lessen that judgment, I'm going to do it.
And I always tell people, be careful what you make your email address and all of that when you send out emails looking for things. Don't have some crazy email address when you send out things to people because they judge you based off of that.
All I hear is a bunch of people who got the white man got them shook.
But the
and
email has nothing to do with
you
being
can't
white.
Run
I'm just talking
from what
about
you
an email
are.
Address that just sounds crazy.
800-585-1051. We were talking to Jordan Belfort this morning, and we had this conversation about changing names and being more, I guess, what's the name? Likable in the presence of different people.
Oh, it's not about being likable, because if they don't like your black ass, they prejudice. They're not going to like you because you say your name is Michael.
105.
You're still black.
Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. What up, Yo Gotti? Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, this morning, we were talking to Jordan Belfort, and we were having a conversation
Jordan
about...
Jordan Belfort is the Wolf of Wall Street.
Wolf of Wall Street, mm-hmm. Right. He has a book. What's the name of his book?
The Way of the Wolf.
The Way of the Wolf. He talks about being a great salesperson. And we were talking about when I was a teen and I was selling telemarketing, how I changed my name from Rashawn to Sean to get more sales.
You
was compromising to them crackers.
I wasn't compromising to anybody because nobody ever met me.
Everybody was trying to hit those numbers.
I was hitting my numbers because I was using the name as Sean and I was speaking more proper and it got me in the door. And we're taking your calls. 800-585-1051. What do you think about it? Hello, who's this?
This is Jasmine.
Hey, Jasmine.
How y'all doing? I was calling to answer that question about the name.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm completely with you, Envy. I work in corporate America. Mm-hmm. I name my kids names that you don't even know what gender they are, or what my daughter, I name her Logan, because I don't want you to know what gender she is when she goes and put in the application.
That's Envy's son's name. That's funny.
That's my son's name.
You guys read the same book.
I don't want a Roshonda working on E. Like, come on now.
You know Roshonda's still black regardless, right? The issue is not the name. The issue is the person's prejudice.
That's true.
So, but it ain't no, y'all keep compromising for these white people if y'all want to.
I'm not walking in no door. I'm setting it up for salespeople to walk in the door. I'm creating it is go-sees so somebody could get in that door. Nobody ever meets me. They don't know if I'm white, black, Asian, if I'm gay,
like what,
or what I am. They don't know, and they don't need to know that. And they don't need to know
this
that.
This is very sad. You can't run from what you are.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, my name is Mercedes. I'm calling from Roanoke, Virginia. How are y'all doing this morning?
Hey, Mercedes. What's your comment?
Hey, I named my daughter, we're Filipino, mm-hmm. and I named my daughter a Filipino name. Janelle, and I think about it, I regret it sometimes because I'm just thinking she's going to have a hard time getting the job in the future.
Right.
Because of her name. God.
What's her name?
Janelle.
Janelle. Okay.
And it's spelled J-H-E-N-N-E-I-L, and I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, man. So I think about it a lot. I do, but I mean, hopefully everything will be different in like 10 years when she starts applying for jobs. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mama.
No, it's unfortunate that people feel like, and the fact of the matter is, people don't get callbacks based on their name.
But
it's
But that's not that person's problem. That is the problem of the prejudiced person who's not calling them back. And guess what? It don't matter what you name your child, they cannot run from what they are.
Hello, who's this?
This is Nicole.
Hey, Nicole. You sound depressed.
No, I'm at work.
Okay, what's up? What's your comment?
I was just telling the young lady that it is the system that they go by to where if your name has an accent mark or a hyphen, it automatically knocks it out as far as applying for a job or filling out for something because the system doesn't recognize the hyphen or the accent mark, so it automatically knocks your name out. So if you take that out, then the system would just recognize it as a regular word, and then you'll get a call back maybe.
So Beyonce would have to take the hyphen out of her name to get a call back?
Not technically, but yeah, she would get more callbacks if she took out the hyphen, yeah. Because okay. That's what happens
y'all,
to my
so
daughter.
Y'all ain't calling Beyonce back?
Well, I guess people are speaking from their own experiences.
Hello, who's this?
Sohail.
Sohail, what's your comment?
I'm Persian. My name is Sohail. And yeah, I 100% agree it's difficult. Like, it's not easy. I've had supervisors and bosses tell me my name's too hard. But, I mean, I just make it work, you know what I mean? But Charlemagne, is this Charlemagne?
Yes.
Hey, bro. Why do you get so defensive? You got a pretty big platform, bro. Like, you can really help the youth, the community. And you just keep knocking white people, dog. Like, it's not even...
No. I'm not knocking white people. I'm knocking racist, bigoted, prejudiced white people. Not all white people. Now, if you want to lump yourself in with them crack-ass crackers, go right ahead. Because I'm not doing that. I'm very specific in who I'm talking to.
You're specific in it, but you keep making those comments. It's all that does is cause divide, dude.
What comments am I making? I'm going to always denounce racism. I'm going to always talk down on racists. I'm going to always talk down on prejudiced people.
Calling someone a cracker isn't racist?
I'm going to quote a white person. Seth Rogen tweeted this out yesterday. Seth Rogen, you know who Seth Rogen is, right?
Yeah.
Seth Rogen said, if you are a white person who gets mad at being called a cracker, then you are indeed a mother effing cracker. A white man tweeted that yesterday, sir.
All right, so that's very cool. But what I'm saying is, I'm from the Bay, bro. I'm listening to you guys because I'm in Miami right now just helping out for work. But when I hear this about you laughing at the SNL thing that they call Donald Trump a cracker, right? You're like, oh, more power to him. That gets a clue bomb or whatever.
Let me ask you a question. You don't think Donald Trump is a crack-ass cracker? Because a crack-ass cracker is a racist, bigoted, prejudiced person. You don't think Donald Trump is that?
You're missing the point, bro.
Oh, I'm missing the point. Okay. No.
Yeah, 100%.
Right. If you want to continue to lump yourself in with the Trumps of the world, go right ahead, my brother.
But, my man, you have a big platform. I think you should kind of use it. I think you just do it for shits and giggles, but you should use it to get the message across is a little bit better.
The
bro.
Message is racist, bigoted, prejudiced white people are cracker-ass crackers and white devils. That is the message. I don't know how much more clear you want me to be.
All right. Thank you, Sohail, for calling. All right, what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is the white man got you shook. I can't believe y'all out here compromising to these crackers. We making excuses for they prejudice and they bigotry. And to me, that's being a sucker. Be proud of who you are. Be proud of what your name is.
I don't think the white man got anybody shook. But all right, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, 21 Savage. Can he get a job with that name? All right, well, we're going to be talking about 21
no,
Savage at the Slut Walk.
No, he can't get a job with that name. All right, rumors on the way. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Cardi B. Bodak Yellow was the number one song in the country for the second week in a row.
It beat out Rockstar?
Yeah, she's number one again this week.
Wow. Rockstar was number one streaming, I think, as far as streaming goes.
God bless Cardi. She does things her way with no compromise, and her true authentic self is winning.
Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk 21 Savage.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, I guess 21 Savage has been getting a lot of flack for being at the Slut Walk with his woman, Amber Rose. He was holding a sign that said, I'm a hoe too. And she had on her Captain Save-A-Ho cape.
So what?
And here's what he had to say about people going in on him.
Get off my dick.
Get off your bitch dick.
too.
Yeah, get off my bitch too. Slut while I was fun as a mother.
All right, and then here's what Amber Rose had to say about everybody saying that he is, I guess, no longer a savage.
How the f*** is my man not a savage anymore? Do y'all want him to pistol with me, beat me up, shoot up the slut walk? Like, what the f*** do y'all want?
Listen, man, some of y'all get on IG and say what you're going to do for the poom poom, but y'all not really about that life. 21 out here showing what he would really do for the poom poom in real life. So stop hating. That man's in love.
The only thing that's funny is that his facial expressions be so stoic all the time. Like, he reveals...
He's serious about not being a hoe, too.
But that's what... The pictures just look funny because of that. Like, he don't be having no expression ever.
Drop one of Clue's mother, 21 Savage. I saw the video for his nothing new song yesterday. It's not out yet, but I saw it yesterday.
Like, Amber Rose be smiling, happy. He just looks like...
Serious
here.
All the time. All the time.
We got to start talking about Amber Rose and her transformative box, too, by the way. It's not quite Badu level, but come on. If Amber Rose can turn 21 Savage into a feminist, we got to start putting her in that conversation.
All right. Lupita Nyong'o could be starring in a reboot of Charlie's Angels. They're doing that reboot, and she is in early talks to sign on for that. And Kristen Stewart from Twilight is also being eyed for that as well. So they haven't revealed who the third person will be, but they're saying that Janelle Monáe is a top choice as well. So that could be good. I would definitely go see that.
Janelle Monáe's a future Hollywood star.
Janelle Monáe, by the way, did an incredible job in, what was the movie
Hidden
with
Figures?
NASA? Yeah, Hidden Figures. Oh, my dope. God.
Janelle is
so
great.
I've seen it twice on the plane.
Janelle is a future Hollywood star. Like,
she killed it.
She's absolutely up next.
All right, Justin Bieber. He wants to rent a house in Beverly Hills, but nobody will rent to him. Nobody in that neighborhood because of his reputation for trashing every mansion. He's offering up to $100,000 a month, but everybody's like, nah. He's been staying at a hotel in Beverly Hills right now because, you know, he hasn't been able to get anything. So right now he's just living in hotels.
I wonder why he wouldn't buy a crib out there. He's out there enough.
Yeah, and, you know, he already had a house there, so I don't know why he doesn't just buy one. Maybe he's not sure where he wants to end up, because sometimes buying's not a great idea if you're only going to be there for a short period of time. You don't know where you're going to go. All right, Dana White is saying the UFC will donate $1 million in order to help out the victims of the Vegas shooting, the victims who were affected. Here's what he had to say.
What we're going to do is we're going to donate $1 million to the people, the families, and the people who are affected by this. And, you know, it's still too early, so we'll see what pops up over the next week, but we're going to cut that money up and donate to a bunch of different things that have to do with the tragedy, or we'll just give the whole million in one lump sum to, you know, the thing that everybody else is donating to. I know the NFL put up some money, too.
Yeah, because sadly, it's a lot of funerals to pay for.
Right, it's a lot going on. Yeah. That money will definitely have to be utilized. All right, and for all you Real Housewives of Atlanta fans, it looks like there's all kinds of drama going on. Porsha, they're saying, has been kicked off of the girls' trip because she tried to attack Marlo Hampton.
Porsha fighting still?
Yeah, they're saying that she didn't touch Marlo, but security broke it up quickly enough, and she got sent home early, so they're in Barcelona. And Kenya Moore was supposed to go to Barcelona, and she didn't end up going. The problem is that she's supposed to be filming scenes with her husband, Mark Daly, but he's not down for that, so she's kind of trying to stall it, so they actually yanked her invite, and you get paid per episode. Mm-hmm. So there's some episodes she's going to miss out on because she didn't get to go on that trip to Barcelona.
Do you get a bonus if you fight on Real Housewives of Atlanta?
You're
no.
It's supposed to kick you off.
Yeah, you actually not supposed to physically touch anyone.
Yeah, they say that, but then they still air it. So technically, that makes me believe that they got to give some kind of bonus for fighting on those shows.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.